done what he said he'd do. My Lord, he done done. My Lord, he done done. Oh, oh. No problem. Done done what he said he'd do. My Lord, he done done, he done done what he said he'd do. My Lord, he done done. Alright. Can we lift that up a little bit? Can you lift it up a little? Yeah, there we go. Ah, oh, perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Want to move it?
Yeah. All right, perfect. Am I good using this? Well, it's good to be with you tonight.
Senang berjumpa dengan kalian semua malam ini.
Just last week.
Minggu lalu.
My wife and I were doing a conference in Nebraska in the U.S.
Saya dan istri saya menghadiri sebuah konferensi di Nebraska, Amerika Serikat.
About the Christian worldview.
Tentang pandangan dunia tentang kekristenan.
Trying to explain how the Christian explanation of the world is the correct one.
Tentang menjelaskan bagaimana dunia melihat kekristenan dalam.
Then we come home for 2 days.
Kita akan berjumpa selama 2 hari.
And we fly to Surabaya.
Dan kita terbang ke Surabaya.
Yeah, it's true that we love the churches here in Indonesia.
Dan itu memang benar bahwa kami sangat suka sekali dengan gereja di Indonesia.
Ever since I was a young Christian.
Sejak saya masih Kristen muda.
I thought I wanted to be a missionary in Indonesia.
Saya pernah berpikir missionary ke Indonesia.
Oh, that didn't work out.
Tapi itu tidak pernah terjadi.
I'm a chemistry and physics professor.
Saya adalah profesor kimia dan fisika.
But I get to come here.
Tapi saya akhirnya datang ke sini.
This is my fourth time in Indonesia.
Ini keempat kalinya saya datang ke Indonesia.
I remember the very first time at Jakarta Church.
Saya ingat pertama kalinya saya datang ke gereja Jakarta.
Just seeing the faith of the Christians.
Untuk melihat iman dari murid-murid Yesus.
It made me cry.
Dan itu membuat saya menangis.
I really appreciate you very much.
Saya sangat menghargai mereka.
Now, I was asked to do a class on the book of Revelation.
Dan saya akan memulai kelas ini dari buku Wahyu.
Exactly. There we go. Okay. Oh. What happened? All right, good. Nope. All right. Why is it not working? Is it working? Okay, it's working now. This is going to be a little bit complicated.
Ini nope. Akan agak sedikit membingungkan.
What? Okay. Stop. Don't touch it. Okay. Okay. Because every time I change the slide that you see,
karena setiap kali saya mengubah slide-nya,
I have to change the slide that I see.
Yang kalian lihat, dan saya harus ubah slide yang saya juga lihat.
I hope I can keep track of this.
Saya berharap saya bisa melakukannya.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the book of Revelation.
Saya akan berbicara sedikit tentang buku Wahyu.
First, we'll do a little bit of the background.
Sedikit tentang latar belakang.
We understand the kind of book that Revelation is.
Kita tahu bahwa Wahyu adalah buku yang seperti apa.
It's a special kind of literature.
Ini adalah literatur yang cukup istimewa.
Apocalyptic literature.
Literatur apokaliptik.
So I have to explain what that's about.
Jadi saya harus menjelaskan apa artinya.
And then we'll do a little introduction to the book of Revelation.
Kemudian kita akan belajar untuk mengenal sedikit tentang buku Wahyu.
And then we'll go through the whole book.
Lalu kita akan mengupas seluruh buku Wahyu.
Now let's talk a little bit about apocalyptic literature.
Mari kita lihat sedikit tentang literatur apokaliptik.
Why is this not working? Okay, good. So, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, let's read that.
Mari kita baca Wahyu 1, ayat 1.
We'll get all this technology working, and then we can focus on the book.
Karena teknologinya enggak terlalu berjalan baik, mari kita lihat
Bible. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1.
Wahyu 1 ayat 1.
Okay? Yeah, right.
Inilah wahyu Yesus Kristus yang dikaruniakan Allah kepadanya, supaya ditunjukkannya kepada hamba-hambanya apa yang harus segera terjadi. Dan oleh malaikatnya yang diutusnya, ia telah menyatakannya kepada hambanya Yohanes.
So it begins by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Kalimat pertama dibuka dengan inilah wahyu Yesus Kristus.
The word revelation,
kata wahyu,
is apocalypsis. It means removing the veil.
Artinya menyingkap tabir atau membuka sebuah tabir.
In other words, something that was hidden,
awalnya adalah sesuatu yang tersembunyi,
is now being uncovered.
Dan sekarang sudah tidak lagi tersembunyi.
So apocalyptic literature,
jadi literatur apokaliptik,
reveals something that's hidden.
Menyingkap sesuatu yang tersembunyi.
That's the idea.
Itu adalah idenya.
It's a special kind of literature.
Ini adalah literatur yang istimewa.
Now, what's that say there? I don't.
No.
Because you've got.
Okay, you want this one?
That's the one we're on.
Ah, that one. Yeah. See.
I don't get it. So how does? Because, see, here's the first slide. Uh-huh. Okay. And here's the second slide, but it's not the same. So what?
Satu lagi.
How did?
Yeah, because I don't know the.
Judulnya apokaliptik literatur yang ada wahyu 1 ayat 1, bro.
Because I assume they were going to.
That's the same with yours.
So what was that in between slide? An extra one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because this one
next.
Is the same with this.
Yeah, but I hit the. Okay.
Maybe you have to push this first, and then I can ask them to change
no.
the other slide.
Okay. So, but that's the same there, right?
No, yes? They have to follow you.
Yeah.
So,
no.
They have to follow you. So, you want a slide, you will.
All right. So, I just.
Yeah. You just click this, and then I will ask them to change
it. Okay. That'll work. I'm sorry about a bad beginning here.
Maaf karena permulaan yang buruk.
So, the purpose then of apocalyptic writing,
jadi tujuan dari penulisan literatur apokaliptik,
is to show in dramatic fashion,
untuk menunjukkan sisi dramatis,
that God is in control.
Bahwa Tuhan berkuasa.
Apocalyptic language,
bahasa apokaliptik,
it's like a picture book.
Seperti buku gambar.
You know, you like have a picture book.
Kalian tahu kalian pernah punya buku gambar.
And it's a pictures that reveals what's going on behind the scenes.
Buku gambar yang menceritakan atau mengungkap apa yang terjadi di balik sebuah kisah.
The purpose of these writings,
tujuan dari penulisan ini,
was to stress the virtue of loyalty,
untuk menekankan kepada kesetiaan,
and to stimulate the faith,
dan untuk merangsang iman,
by showing in a vivid way,
dengan menunjukkan dengan cara yang,
that evil will be overthrown,
bahwa iblis akan disingkirkan,
and there'll be a final victory for God's people.
Dan akan ada kemenangan di akhir untuk umat Tuhan.
Okay, now we're the same.
Yes.
So one thing about apocalyptic literature,
dalam salah satu literatur apokaliptik,
it's written during times of trouble.
Ditulis pada masa-masa sulit.
For example,
contoh,
Isaiah.
Yesaya.
All this apocalyptic symbolic language,
ditulis dengan bahasa simbolik apokaliptik.
It was written when the northern kingdom was being destroyed.
Ditulis ketika terjadi penghancuran atas Israel.
Ezekiel.
Yehezkiel.
I will be teaching Ezekiel for the staff on Monday.
Saya akan mengajarkan tentang Yehezkiel kepada staff hari Senin.
Again, apocalyptic language.
Dan,
you see that big thing with all the wheels and all the eyes and the chariot in the sky, all that kind of thing? You want to translate that? You see the chariot with the wheels and the eyes that cover it?
Apakah kamu melihat bahwa ada kereta yang
That happened when the southern kingdom was being destroyed.
Dan itu terjadi ketika penghancuran atas Israel.
And the Jews, they had their own apocalyptic literature.
Dan orang-orang Yahudi punya literatur apokaliptiknya sendiri.
Some that's not even in the Bible.
Dan ada yang mempelajarinya dari Alkitab.
They had a book called First Enoch.
Buku itu disebut sebagai buku satu Henokh.
And it's the same style.
Dengan cara penulisan yang sama.
And it happened during the time of the persecution of the Jews.
Dengan penganiayaan terhadap orang-orang Yahudi.
And then there's the book of Revelation.
Dan ada lagi dalam kitab Wahyu.
It also comes during a very troubling time.
Dan itu datang pada masa-masa yang sangat sulit.
When the persecution of the church happened in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century.
Saat penganiayaan jemaat terjadi pada abad pertama sampai ketiga.
Another thing about apocalyptic literature.
Hal lain tentang literatur apokaliptik.
It's hard to figure out.
Sulit untuk dipahami.
You need to have a little bit of information to understand it.
Kalian membutuhkan lebih sedikit informasi.
God did this out of wisdom.
Tuhan memberikan kebijaksanaan.
Because when the book of Revelation was written,
karena ketika buku Wahyu ditulis,
it's saying this.
Dia mengatakan demikian.
It says the church is going to win.
Jemaat akan menang.
And Rome will be destroyed.
Dan Roma akan dikalahkan.
But Rome may not like that so much.
Tapi Roma tidak terlalu menyukai.
Imagine you're a Roman leader.
Bayangkan literatur Roma.
And the church says,
gereja berkata,
we're going to destroy you.
Kita akan menghancurkan kalian.
You want to say that carefully.
Kalian tahu akan seperti apa rasanya berhancur.
So the symbolism of the book of Revelation.
Jadi simbolisme dari buku Wahyu.
The church understood it.
Gereja memahaminya.
It used Jewish symbolism.
Mereka menggunakan simbolisasi Yahudi.
But it was hidden for the Romans.
Tapi itu disembunyikan dari orang-orang Roma.
They didn't really understand it.
Mereka tidak benar-benar memahaminya.
Now, another thing about apocalyptic literature.
Hal lain tentang literatur apokaliptik.
It's about the future.
Adalah tentang masa depan.
It's about sometimes the end of time.
Kadang-kadang tentang akhir zaman.
It's a little bit like prophecy.
Tentang penubuatan.
But not exactly.
Tapi tidak secara persis.
Okay. For example,
contoh,
prophecy,
nubuatan,
is mainly preaching.
Utamanya adalah tentang pengajaran.
And only a little bit of prediction.
Dan sedikit tentang prediksi.
You think about the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is mainly preaching.
Yesaya utamanya adalah pengajaran.
Only a little bit of predicting the future.
Hanya sedikit saja menuliskan tentang menafsirkan masa depan.
Same with Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
Sama seperti Yeskiel.
It's mainly preaching repentance.
Lebih banyak mengajarkan tentang pertobatan.
But there's a little bit that's about the future.
Tapi juga ada sedikit tentang masa depan.
But apocalyptic literature is not like that.
Tapi literatur apokaliptik tidak seperti itu.
There's a little bit of preaching.
Ada sedikit pengajaran.
But mainly it's a vision of the future.
Tapi utamanya adalah tentang penglihatan akan masa depan.
Another thing about apocalyptic language.
Hal lain tentang apokaliptik.
It applies to everyone everywhere.
Itu diterapkan kepada siapa saja di mana saja.
The prophet.
Nabi.
He spoke to a particular situation.
Berbicara dalam situasi tertentu.
To a particular people.
Kepada orang-orang tertentu.
But apocalyptic language.
Tapi bahasa apokaliptik.
It's general for everybody.
Dikatakan secara umum kepada siapa saja.
Another thing special about apocalyptic literature.
Hal lain yang istimewa tentang literatur apokaliptik.
It's about the end of times.
Adalah tentang akhir zaman.
It's about the end of the ages.
Tentang akhir dari sebuah masa.
Another thing about apocalyptic literature.
Hal lain tentang literatur apokaliptik.
It has a particular historical situation.
Memiliki sedikit kisah tentang sejarah.
For example.
Contoh.
There's apocalyptic literature in Daniel.
Ada literatur apokaliptik dalam kitab Daniel.
But Daniel is talking about the persecution of the Jews.
Tapi Daniel berbicara tentang penganiayaan
that happened in the second century. Oh, good job. Catch that. Do you have to tighten it? Just tighten it a little bit. Yeah. It'll work. I have faith. God is in control. See, the theme of Revelation is that God is in control. So I believe God's in control. Plus we have smart people taking care of us here. So the historical situation of Daniel is the terrible persecution of the Jews. By a man named Antiochus Epiphanes.
Antiochus Epiphanes.
Yeah. And then the book of Revelation, the historical setting, is the persecution of the church under the Roman Emperor Domitian. Another thing is apocalyptic language has many visions. We have people seeing visions.
Orang banyak melihat penglihatan.
Prophecy doesn't have so many visions. But apocalyptic language has visions.
Tapi bahasa apokaliptik bicara
very colorful, very dramatic.
Sangat dramatis dan penuh warna.
A lot of symbolism.
Banyak simbolisasi.
Here's the rule.
Ini aturannya.
Normally, when you're reading the Bible,
normalnya saat kita membaca Alkitab,
you take everything literally.
Membacanya secara harfiah.
Unless the context says no, to take it as a symbol.
Dan sedikit sekali konteks yang menggambarkan tentang simbolisasi.
But in apocalyptic literature,
tapi dalam literatur apokaliptik,
you take everything symbolically.
Kalian menangkap segala sesuatu dalam bentuk simbol.
Unless the context says to take it literally.
Dan sedikit sekali konteks yang menjelaskan secara harfiah.
So in that sense, it's very, very different.
Makanya keduanya menjadi sangat-sangat berbeda.
You don't study apocalyptic language like you study the rest of the Bible.
Saya tahu belajar tentang literatur apokaliptik itu seperti belajar sedikit tentang.
Now, in a lot of churches, they talk about Revelation a lot.
Di gereja lain mereka banyak bicara tentang Wahyu.
And they try to take it literally.
Dan mereka berusaha menggambarkannya secara harfiah.
If you do that,
jika kalian melakukan
it's very confusing.
Itu akan sangat membingungkan.
It doesn't make sense.
Enggak masuk akal.
Now, let me give one example of symbolism.
Saya berikan satu contoh tentang simbolisasi.
In apocalyptic literature,
dalam literatur apokaliptik,
numbers are used as a symbol.
Angka-angka digunakan sebagai simbol.
The number one, for example,
contohnya nomor satu,
represents unity.
Menggambarkan tentang kesatuan.
It's a number used for God.
Itu nomor yang menggambarkan tentang Tuhan.
Because God is one.
Karena Tuhan adalah satu.
When you see the number two,
saat kalian lihat nomor dua,
it means strength or courage or energy.
Itu artinya kekuatan, keberanian atau energi.
For example, there's two witnesses. Or two beasts.
Atau dua makhluk.
And that means strength and energy.
Dan itu memiliki kekuatan ataupun energi.
Hard to oppose that thing. Hard to go against that.
Susah untuk melawannya.
And then the number three is also a symbol.
Dan nomor tiga juga termasuk dalam simbol.
The number three is the number of God.
Nomor tiga adalah nomornya Tuhan.
It represents something that's divine.
Menggambarkan sesuatu yang sangat hebat.
Because of the Trinity.
Karena Tritunggal.
And then there's the number four.
Dan ada nomor empat.
There's four things.
Digambarkan tentang empat hal.
Like four horses.
Seperti empat kuda.
Or four angels.
Atau empat malaikat.
Something like that.
Atau hal-hal seperti itu.
And the number four represents the world.
Dan nomor empat menggambarkan tentang bumi.
Like the four different directions.
Seperti empat arah mata angin yang berbeda.
Or the four winds.
Empat arah mata angin.
Or the four creatures in Revelation.
Atau empat makhluk di Kitab Wahyu.
And then the number six.
Dan nomor enam.
That's also used as a symbol.
Juga digunakan sebagai simbol.
Six is the number of Satan.
Enam adalah nomor setan.
Or the number of evil.
Atau nomor iblis.
So in Revelation, if there's six things.
Jadi dalam Wahyu ada enam hal.
It's not literally six things.
Itu tidak secara harfiah menyatakan enam hal.
It could be any number.
Itu bisa nomor apa aja.
But it means that it's evil.
Tapi artinya adalah setan.
It's the number of Satan.
Itu adalah nomor setan.
You know that number 666.
Kalian tahu nomor 666?
In where my wife is from.
Dari tempat istri saya berasal.
They had a highway.
Ada jalan layang.
It's highway 666.
Jalan layangnya nomor 666.
And the people said we need to change that number.
Orang-orang bilang harus ganti nomor itu.
But 666 means?
Tapi 666 berarti.
Evil.
Setan.
Very evil.
Sangat jahat.
Extremely evil.
Luar biasa jahat.
We have to take it as a symbol. You can't take it literally.
Kita harus lihat itu sebagai sebuah simbol, jangan dimaknai secara harfiah.
And then there's the number of seven.
Dan ada nomor tujuh.
Seven represents perfection.
Tujuh menggambarkan kesempurnaan.
It means to be complete.
Tentang sebuah kelengkapan.
Number three is the number of God.
Nomor tiga adalah nomor Tuhan.
Number four is the number of the world.
Nomor empat adalah nomor untuk bumi.
Three plus four is seven. And God and the world represents everything.
Tuhan dan dunia mewakili segala.
So there's seven lampstands.
Jadi ada tujuh anak rumah.
And that represents all of God, all of the churches.
Yang menggambarkan tentang seluruh jemaat.
By the way, remember.
Samping itu.
I said normally in Revelation you take it symbolically.
Secara formal saya katakan bahwa dalam Kitab Wahyu kita harus melihat beberapa hal secara simbolik.
But sometimes it's literal.
Tapi kadang-kadang juga secara harfiah.
For example, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3.
Contohnya dalam Kitab Wahyu pasal 2 dan 3.
He's writing to seven churches.
Dia menulis tentang tujuh jemaat.
Is that symbolic?
Apakah itu simbolis?
Well, kind of.
Ya, sepertinya.
But it's seven actual churches.
Tapi itu juga adalah benar-benar tentang tujuh jemaat.
But it's not an accident that he chose seven churches.
Tapi itu bukan secara tidak sengaja bahwa Tuhan memilih angka tujuh.
Because seven means the whole thing.
Karena tujuh berarti semua hal.
So those seven churches.
Jadi tujuh jemaat.
They're real churches.
Itu adalah jemaat sesungguhnya.
It's literal.
Secara harfiah.
And yet those seven churches.
Dan juga tujuh jemaat
represent all the church.
Yang mewakili seluruh jemaat.
And then there's another number, three and a half.
Juga ada nomor lain yaitu tiga setengah.
In Daniel it says something happens for a time.
Di Kitab Daniel dikatakan sesuatu terjadi dengan
beberapa
waktu.
Times.
Dan jam.
And then half a time.
Dan separuh waktu.
So the number three and a half.
Jadi nomor tiga setengah.
It represents a limited amount of time.
Menunjukkan tentang keterbatasan waktu.
In the book of Daniel.
Dalam buku Daniel.
It talks about 1,260 days.
Tertulis ada 1,260 hari.
Oh, that's 3.5 years.
Itu 3.5 tahun.
Is that literal?
Apakah itu harfiah?
No, it means it's going to happen.
Tidak, karena itu belum tentu akan terjadi.
And then it's going to come to an end.
Dan itu akan menjadi sebuah akhir.
And then there's the number 10.
Dan ada nomor 10.
10 represents completeness.
10 menggambarkan kesempurnaan.
Or it means many.
Atau jumlah yang sangat banyak.
So 1,000.
Ratusan.
Is 10. Is 10 times 10 times 10.
Adalah 10 kali 10 kali 10.
So 1,000 means many, many, many.
Jadi 1,000 itu berarti banyak, banyak, banyak.
You know the famous 144,000, yes?
Kita tahu angka yang paling banyak adalah 144,000.
Should we take that literally?
Apakah kita harus memahaminya secara harfiah?
Of course not. That doesn't make any sense.
Tentu saja tidak, karena itu tidak masuk akal.
So for example, you'll see 70.
Coba kalian lihat 70, angka 70.
There are 70 elders in Revelation.
Ada 70 tua-tua dalam kitab Wahyu.
That means perfect, 7.
Itu artinya sempurna.
Times 10, complete.
Dikali 10.
So the 70 represents a full number.
Jadi 70 mewakili nomor yang sempurna.
And then there's the number 12.
Dan ada nomor 12.
12 is the number that represents God's people.
12 menggambarkan tentang 12 murid Yesus.
4 plus 3 is 7.
4 kali 3 sama dengan 12.
And 4 times 3 is 12.
Dan 4 kali 3 12.
Because 3 is the number of God.
Karena 3 adalah nomor Tuhan.
And 4 is the number of the world.
4 adalah nomor untuk dunia.
So 4 times 3 is 12.
Jadi 4 kali 3 sama dengan 12.
And that means things in the world that are God's things.
Itu berarti hal-hal di dunia yang terjadi.
That's why there's 12 apostles.
Itu sebabnya ada 12 rasul.
That's why there's 12 tribes.
Itu sebabnya ada 12 suku Israel.
That's why there's 12 gates in heaven.
Itu sebabnya ada 12 gerbang di surga.
Because that represents 12, the number of God.
Karena itu menggambarkan tentang 12 sebagai nomor Tuhan.
Now, were there literally 12 apostles?
Apakah itu secara harfiah sebagai 12 rasul?
Yeah, there were literally 12 apostles.
Ya, itu secara harfiah adalah 12 rasul.
But it's not an accident that Jesus chose 12.
Tapi itu juga bukan secara mendadak atau tiba-tiba Tuhan memilih 12.
Because those 12 are symbolic of all God's people.
Karena 12 menggambarkan tentang 12 umat Tuhan.
So what about the number 144,000?
Bagaimana dengan nomor 144,000?
That's 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10.
Itu adalah 12 kali 12 kali 10 kali 10 kali 10.
Can you do that on your calculator?
Bisakah kalian melakukannya di kalkulator kalian?
Remember your times tables from the school, yes?
Ingat. Table.
So that means God's people.
Itu artinya umat Tuhan.
Really God's people.
Benar-benar umat Tuhan.
And many, many, many.
Dan masih banyak lagi dan lagi.
There's other uses of symbolism in Revelation.
Ada penggunaan lain dalam simbol di kitab Wahyu.
Colors are used as symbols.
Penggunaan warna.
For example.
Contoh.
Red means war.
Perang,
or sacrifice.
Atau
white means purity.
Putih menggambarkan kemurnian.
Innocence.
Tidak berdosa.
Purple means royalty.
Ungu menggambarkan tentang kerajaan.
Blue represents heaven.
Biru menggambarkan tentang surga.
Black represents famine or death.
Hitam menggambarkan tentang kelaparan atau kematian.
Yellow means getting near the end of your life.
Kuning menggambarkan tentang akhir kehidupan.
Things that are pale represent death or destruction.
Warna-warna muda atau pucat menggambarkan tentang kematian atau pengerusakan.
Crimson represents blood or atonement.
Merah tua menggambarkan tentang darah atau penebusan dosa.
And gold represents divinity or splendor.
Emas menggambarkan tentang ketuhanan dan kemegahan.
All these are symbolic.
Semua ini adalah simbolis.
So now when you see a red horse, what does that mean to you?
Jadi sekarang kalau kalian lihat kuda merah, apa artinya buat kalian?
It means war is coming.
Itu artinya perang akan datang.
When you see a white horse,
saat kalian lihat kuda putih,
it means purity or innocence.
Itu artinya kemurnian dan tidak berdosa.
So when you read the book of Zechariah,
saat kalian baca buku Zakaria,
you can start to understand what it's talking about.
Kalian bisa mulai mengerti apa yang dibicarakan dalam buku itu.
Another character of apocalyptic language.
Karakter lain dalam bahasa apokaliptik.
It's dramatic.
Itu adalah dramatis.
It's grotesque.
Dapat dibantah.
It's terrifying.
Mengerikan.
It catches your attention.
Itu menarik perhatian.
Rivers of blood.
Sungai yang penuh dengan darah.
Hail falling from the sky.
Neraka yang jatuh dari langit.
Locusts. Locusts, you know, grasshoppers.
Belalang.
And death riding on a horse.
Dan kematian mengendarai kuda.
Animals with many heads.
Binatang dengan banyak sekali kepala.
A woman fighting with a dragon.
Wanita bertarung dengan naga.
These are exaggerated symbols.
Ini semua adalah simbol.
They're telling a story.
Mereka ingin mengungkapkan sebuah cerita.
You have to be careful when you look at these visions.
Kalian harus berhati-hati ketika kalian melihat pandangan ini.
For example, if you see in Daniel chapter 2,
contoh waktu kita lihat di Daniel pasal 2,
you see the statue with the two legs and the toes.
Kita lihat patung dengan dua kaki.
So you count the toes, does that mean something?
Dan waktu kamu hitung jempolnya, apakah itu berarti?
No, you have to get the big picture.
Kita harus lihat gambaran besarnya.
All right. I got to skip a couple of slides. I have some slides about apocalyptic language in the Old Testament.
Old Testament, bro.
Just interpret okay. That. I have some slides about the Old Testament apocalyptic language.
Beberapa slide tentang perjanjian lama.
We'll just put this up at the church website because I don't have time for all this.
Saya akan berikan ini untuk website gereja karena kita tidak punya waktu untuk bahas satu-satu.
So let me summarize.
Jadi mari saya ringkas.
About apocalyptic language.
Tentang bahasa apokalips.
And then we can start looking at the book of Revelation.
Dan mari kita mulai lihat dari kitab Wahyu.
So remember, when you're reading apocalyptic language,
saat kita baca bahasa apokaliptik,
you need to know the historical setting.
Kita harus tahu tentang latar belakang sejarah.
For the book of Revelation, what is that historical setting that you have to understand all these symbols?
Dalam kitab Wahyu, bagaimana latar belakang sejarah yang terjadi saat itu?
Somebody?
Ada yang tahu?
What's the historical setting for the book of Revelation?
Apa latar belakang sejarah dari buku Wahyu?
What did he say?
Persecution.
You have to be specific.
Kalian harus lebih spesifik.
It's the church in the first century.
Ini adalah tentang gereja pada abad pertama.
Which is being attacked.
Yang diserang.
By Roman persecutors.
Oleh para penganiaya Romawi.
Everything in the book needs to be understood with that in mind.
Setiap hal dalam buku itu dapat dipahami.
It's pictures.
Itu adalah sebuah gambaran.
Get the big pictures.
Dapatkan gambaran besar.
Don't get caught up in all the details.
Jangan terlalu fokus dengan hal-hal yang kecil.
And once you do that,
karena waktu kamu melakukannya,
then you can apply the message.
Kalian tidak bisa mengaplikasikan pesannya
to your own situation.
Dalam kehidupan Anda.
You have to know that situation.
Kalian harus tahu situasinya.
And then you can apply it to your own situation.
Dan kalian bisa menerapkannya dalam situasi kalian.
I don't know what that's about. That's not what we're talking about now.
Teori akhir zaman.
All right, good. Yeah. Good, now we're the same. Now, forgive me for spending a little bit of time on this.
Maaf karena saya menghabiskan lebih banyak waktu dengan.
But in many of your churches, they talk about end times a lot, yes?
Dalam banyak gereja, mereka bicara tentang akhir zaman.
Yeah. It seems like that's the only thing they talk about.
Yeah. Itu hal yang selalu mereka bicarakan.
But the Bible talks about that a little bit.
Tapi Alkitab membicarakannya tidak terlalu.
So I think we should talk about it a little bit.
Jadi seharusnya aku rasa kita bicarakannya juga tidak usah terlalu banyak.
Otherwise it's going to be hard to share with your friends.
Karena nanti akan sulit untuk kita bisa sharing dengan teman.
So you have to kind of know what they're talking about.
Mereka akan bingung kita bicara apa.
Now there's different theories about the end of time.
Ada beberapa teori tentang akhir zaman.
And I'm going to give you some special language.
Saya akan membagikan kepada kalian beberapa yang spesial.
Please forgive these big words, you know.
Tolong maafkan itu kata-katanya.
One theory.
Satu teori.
Is called the preterist theory.
Disebut sebagai preterist.
It says almost everything in the book of Revelation.
Dikatakan bahwa sebagian besar dari kitab Wahyu.
Is about things that have already happened.
Bahwa sudah digenapi atau sudah terjadi.
This is definitely not the theory used in churches today, right?
Ini jelas-jelas bukan teori yang kita bisa gunakan di gereja.
They say Revelation is about what's happening now.
Mereka bilang Wahyu adalah tentang apa yang sedang terjadi.
Or maybe in the near future.
Atau di masa depan dalam waktu dekat.
The preterist idea.
Pemikiran preterist.
Is that it's about things that happened in the past.
Adalah tentang apa yang sudah terjadi di masa lalu.
Now, what's the setting of the book of Revelation?
Nah, bagaimana latar belakang dari buku Wahyu? Apa latar belakang dari buku Wahyu?
It's about Rome.
Ini adalah tentang Roma.
In the first century.
Pada abad pertama.
So does the preterist theory make sense?
Apakah teori preterist masuk akal?
Yes, of course it does.
Ya, tentu saja.
Because almost everything in the book of Revelation,
karena hampir semua dalam kitab Wahyu,
is about something that happened back then.
Adalah sesuatu yang terjadi di masa lalu.
And then there's these different millennial theories.
Kemudian ada lagi teori milenium yang berbeda.
You hear about premillennialism.
Kalian pernah dengar tentang premillennialism?
And postmillennialism.
Dan postmillennialism.
Now, even if people don't use those words,
walaupun orang-orang tidak menggunakan istilah itu,
that's what they're being taught in these churches.
Tapi itulah yang sering dibicarakan di gereja.
One kind is amillennialism.
Ada lagi satu jenis tentang amillennialism.
That means there's not going to be literally 1,000 years.
Itu bicara soal secara literatur 1,000 tahun.
So they say, no, Jesus is not going to come back on the earth and reign in Jerusalem.
Mereka bilang tidak, Tuhan tidak akan datang dan bangkit lagi dan
they would say it's all symbolic.
Itu semua hanyalah simbol.
And then there's premillennialism.
Dan ada teori premillennialism.
This is what's taught in most churches today.
Ini juga banyak dibicarakan pada banyak gereja belakangan ini.
It says that there's going to be 1,000 years.
Akan ada 1,000 tahun.
Jesus is going to come back.
Dan Yesus akan datang.
He's going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years.
Dia akan memimpin bumi selama 1,000 tahun.
And then time will end.
Dan waktu akan berakhir, masa akan berakhir.
That's the most common interpretation of Revelation.
Itu adalah penggambaran yang paling umum tentang kitab Wahyu.
And then forgive me for one more big long word.
Dan maafkan saya tentang kata-kata yang susah lainnya.
There's postmillennialism.
Ada postmillennialism.
And what that says,
dikatakan bahwa,
is there's going to be a time where the church is going to reign.
Dikatakan bahwa akan ada masa bahwa gereja akan bangkit.
For 1,000 years.
Selama 1,000 tahun.
And then Jesus will come back.
Dan Yesus akan datang kembali.
So premillennialism says.
Jadi premillennialism berkata.
Jesus comes back.
Yesus datang kembali.
And then there's 1,000 years.
Kemudian ada 1,000 tahun.
And then end.
Dan kemudian berakhir.
Postmillennialism says.
Postmillennialism berkata.
1,000 years where the church kind of rules the earth.
Ada 1,000 tahun waktu untuk gereja di bumi.
And then Jesus comes back.
Kemudian Yesus datang kembali.
And amillennialism says.
Dan amillennialism berkata.
This is all symbolic.
Ini semua hanya simbol.
So let me ask you.
Jadi mari saya bertanya kepada kalian.
Which is the correct teaching?
Yang mana ajaran yang benar?
I think amillennialism.
Saya pikir yang benar adalah amillennialism.
Now, we're not going to get to that 1,000 years until tomorrow.
Kita tidak akan sampai ke 1,000 tahun besok.
Because that's in Revelation chapter 20.
Karena tertulis dalam Wahyu pasal 20.
So I believe the preterist idea.
Jadi saya percaya kepada ide dari preterist.
And the amillennial position makes the most sense.
Dan amillennialism yang juga masuk akal.
But I'll let you decide for yourself.
Tapi saya izinkan kalian untuk memutuskan sendiri.
Because does it really matter?
Karena apakah itu penting?
What really matters?
Apa yang penting?
Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
You spoke.
Tuhan adalah Tuhan. Yesus adalah Tuhan.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Jesus is Lord.
Tuhan Yesus adalah Raja.
And if we serve Him,
dan kita melayaninya,
when we die,
lalu kita mati,
we'll be with Him forever.
Dan kita akan bersamanya selamanya.
That's all that matters.
Itu hal yang paling penting.
So your friends have this strange doctrine of premillennialism.
Jadi teman-teman kita mungkin punya pemikiran yang aneh tentang premillennialism.
Oh, let's not worry about that too much.
Nggak usah terlalu pikirin itu.
Let's just make him into disciples.
Pikirin aja gimana jadikan dia murid.
And then maybe later on down the line,
mungkin akan ada yang melewati batas.
You can tell them gently.
Kalian bisa mengingatkannya dengan lebih manis.
That stuff you learned in your church.
Itu kan hal yang kita belajar di gereja.
That's not in the Bible.
Nggak di Bible.
But it's not so important.
Tapi itu tidak terlalu penting.
Now I'm going to skip some more stuff.
Wow.
Oh boy. skip a few.
Trend bilangnya Kristen yang gak berdoa.
Let's go. Now look at that picture.
Ini gambarnya.
This is a picture representing premillennialism.
Ini adalah gambar yang mewakili tentang premillennial.
Oh, it's crazy stuff.
Ini adalah hal yang sangat gila.
And they say that there's going to be the 7 years.
Mereka bilang akan ada 7 tahun.
And there's going to be the rapture.
Akan ada
the rapture. You know, the rapture where everybody kind of gets taken up.
Akan ada pengangkatan.
And then there's going to be all this Armageddon and this war. And all this other stuff. They take things in Revelation literally. And there's going to be the 7 years of tribulation. The Antichrist is going to come. And Jesus is going to come. And they'll have all this fighting, and the blood will be up to the knees of the horses. There's a problem with that. Who fights a war with horses anymore? You can't take this literally. It doesn't really make any sense. There's another problem with this idea. They say Jesus is going to come back and dwell on a physical throne in Jerusalem. That's going backward. Jesus was already here. Now he's in heaven with God. So what's he going to come back here for? This doesn't make any sense. Another problem with the premillennial view.
Masalah lain tentang sudut pandang premillennialisme.
They say the kingdom of God.
Mereka mengatakan tentang kerajaan Allah.
It hasn't come yet.
Dan itu belum datang.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Itu semakin enggak masuk akal.
Because John said,
karena Yohanes berkata,
the kingdom of God is right here.
Bahwa kerajaan Allah ada di sini.
And Jesus says the kingdom of God is right here.
Dan Yesus pun berkata bahwa kerajaan Allah ada di sini.
And then the kingdom came at the Pentecost.
Dan kerajaan Allah datang pada hari Pentakosta.
We're living in the kingdom of God.
Kita hidup dalam kerajaan Allah.
But this premillennialism says the kingdom of God is something way off in the future.
Tapi teori premillennialisme berkata bahwa kerajaan Allah itu jauh dari kita.
So that doesn't make any sense.
Jadi itu enggak masuk akal.
All right, now let's get into the book of Revelation.
Jadi mari kita buka kitab Wahyu.
Enough introductory stuff.
Cukup dengan pembukaannya.
I don't know what was so funny, but
they say that the introduction is so long.
Yes, a long introduction. I apologize. Now, John was in the island of Patmos.
Johannes ada di Pulau Patmos.
We need to go forward.
Peta Patmos.
There we go. Good. So this is the island of Patmos.
Ini adalah Pulau Patmos.
I actually went there.
Saya pernah ke sana.
It's where John was sent into exile.
Di sana tuh tempat John Yohanes diasingkan, dibuang.
And now you can see where Patmos is.
Dan sekarang kita bisa lihat di mana Patmos.
It's an island.
Itu adalah sebuah pulau.
And John was in Ephesus.
Dan Yohanes berada di Efesus.
And Ephesus is, oh, I don't know. I can't point to it.
Ephesus,
you see where the island is? No. Go back. All right, yeah. There's Patmos, yeah. And you can see where Ephesus is, yeah? So what they were doing was they were sending John to the farthest place. The most isolated place. As far away as he could from everybody else. They wanted to get him out of the way. Because he kept preaching about Jesus Christ. And here's a picture that I took when I was there. On top of that hill, there's this cave.
Di puncak bukit ada gua.
They say that's the cave where John received the revelation.
Mereka bilang di situlah gua di mana Yohanes menerima wahyu.
And where he wrote the book. I'm not sure if that's exactly true. There's the monastery of St. John. It's built near where John was when he was in exile. And there's the cave. You can go in there. I think it's very likely John actually was in this cave. Now, when was the book written? We don't know for sure. But it turns out there's an emperor, his name was Domitian. He's an important character. He's an important character in the book of Revelation. When we get to Revelation chapter 17, we'll see Domitian.
Waktu kalian buka di Wahyu 17, pasal 17, kalian akan lihat nama Domitian disebutkan.
He was the first to persecute the church.
Dia adalah orang pertama yang menganiaya jemaat.
He made Christianity illegal.
Dia membuat kekristenan menjadi ilegal.
And it was during his time that John was sent into exile.
Pada era Domitian lah Yohanes diasingkan ke Patmos.
On the island of Patmos.
Ya, ke Pulau Patmos.
In Revelation 17,
dalam Wahyu pasal 17,
verse 9 through 11,
ayat 9 sampai 11,
it says, five have fallen.
Dituliskan bahwa,
Revelation chapter 17,
Wahyu pasal 17,
verse 9 through 11,
ayat 9 sampai 11,
it says, five have fallen.
Dikatakan bahwa lima telah jatuh.
Those will be the first five emperors of Rome.
Itu adalah lima kaisar pertama Romawi.
Augustus.
Augustus.
Tiberius, Caligula, Augustus, Claudius, and Nero.
Claudius and Nero.
Then it says one is.
Salah satunya.
That's Vespasian.
Adalah Vespasian.
And then it says one who is to come for a little while.
Dan salah satu lagi yang memerintah cukup sebentar.
That's Vespasian's son Titus.
Anak dari Vespasian bernama Titus.
And then it says the beast who is to come.
Dan dia dikatakan sebagai binatang buas.
That's that evil king.
Itu asal daripada iblis.
The one who came after Titus.
Orang yang datang setelah Titus.
In the book of Daniel.
Dalam kitab Daniel.
He's the 11th emperor.
Dia adalah kaisar ke-11.
In the book of Revelation,
dalam buku Wahyu,
he's the 8th emperor.
Dia adalah kaisar ke-8.
He's the one who persecuted the church.
Dia adalah orang yang menganiaya jemaat.
That's Domitian.
Itulah Domitian.
Now, a good thing about the book of Revelation,
hal baik tentang kitab Wahyu,
we know how it ends.
Kita tahu bagaimana akhirnya.
God wins.
Tuhan menang.
Domitian loses.
Domitian kalah.
That's good.
Itu adalah hal yang
it's a positive message.
Itu adalah pesan yang sangat positif.
So John was sent into exile around 95 AD.
Yohanes diasingkan pada tahun 95 sebelum Masehi.
And then, so the book of Revelation, maybe about 96 AD, something like that.
Kitab Wahyu mungkin ditulis sekitar tahun itu.
Now there's a bunch more material about the background.
Ada banyak materi tentang latar belakang.
About the author.
Tentang penulisnya.
I'll just summarize that.
Saya akan meringkasnya.
The author is John.
Penulisnya adalah Yohanes.
That's good enough for me.
Itu sudah cukup buat saya.
All this other stuff is not important.
Hal lain tidak terlalu penting.
So I'm going to skip a lot.
Jadi saya bisa melewati.
Now, let's talk about the theme of the book of Revelation.
Mari kita bicara tentang tema dari kitab Wahyu.
We're about to jump in.
Kita akan lompat.
The theme, very good, says it's like peel back the layers.
Temanya adalah seperti kayak mengupas lapisan-lapisan.
You know, the world can get confusing.
Dunia menjadi membingungkan.
There's warfare.
Ada peperangan.
ISIS is taking over in Syria.
ISIS menguasai Syria.
It seems like the Muslims are taking control even in Indonesia.
Sepertinya mereka menguasai bahkan termasuk Indonesia.
Seems like morality in the world is going crazy.
Sepertinya moral di dunia mulai menggila.
But in Revelation we peel back the layers.
Tapi kita wahyu mengupas setiap lapisan.
We look past what's happening.
Kita lihat apa yang terjadi di masa lalu.
What do we see?
Apa yang kita lihat?
The Lamb is on the throne.
Anak domba di tahta.
No matter what you see,
apapun yang kalian lihat,
Jesus is on his throne.
Bahwa Yesus berada di tahtanya.
Imagine the church in the time of Domitian.
Gereja pada masa Domitian.
The Christians were being thrown in prison.
Para murid dijebloskan ke penjara.
The church was under attack from every direction.
Gereja diserang dari berbagai arah.
The church needed assurance.
Gereja butuh jaminan keselamatan.
God wins.
Tuhan menang.
We win.
Kita menang.
The Lamb is on the throne.
Anak domba Allah berada di tahtanya.
The message of Revelation is this.
Pesan dari kitab Wahyu adalah ini.
We need to be encouraged.
Kita harus bersemangat.
We need to be faithful.
Kita harus beriman.
Jesus is Lord.
Tuhan adalah Raja. Yesus adalah Raja.
The world says Caesar is Lord.
Dunia bilang Kaisar adalah Raja.
Revelation says Jesus is Lord.
Wahyu bilang Yesus adalah Raja.
The objective is to comfort the Christians who are suffering very much.
Tujuannya adalah memberi penghiburan kepada orang-orang Kristen.
The church was under attack.
Gereja diserang.
They thought, what will happen?
Mereka pikir apa yang akan terjadi?
What will happen to our families?
Apa yang akan terjadi kepada keluarga kita?
What if I get killed and my wife and my children are left behind?
Bagaimana kalau aku terbunuh dan apa yang akan terjadi dengan anak-anak dan istriku kemudian?
It's a message of comfort.
Ini adalah pesan yang memberi penghiburan.
God is in control.
Tuhan berkuasa.
Revelation is like a divine picture book. Like you have like the Marvel comic books, yes? It's like a spiritual comic book.
Ini seperti comic spiritual, buku comic spiritual.
And the pictures are to tell a story.
Dan gambar-gambarnya menceritakan kisah.
The book of Romans,
buku Roma,
appeals to the mind.
Lebih banyak bicara kepada pemikiran.
The book of Psalms,
buku Mazmur,
appeals to the heart.
Lebih banyak bicara tentang hati.
The book of Revelation,
buku Wahyu,
appeals to your imagination.
Bicara tentang imajinasi.
You have to imagine.
Kalian harus bayangkan.
You see the pictures.
Lihat gambarannya.
And it creates an impression.
Dan terbalik.
The impression is this.
Daya tariknya adalah
the enemies of God will be destroyed.
Musuh Tuhan akan dihancurkan.
And the saints,
dan setan,
they will rule
orang suci
with God forever.
Akan memerintah bersama Tuhan selamanya.
It's about victory.
Ini adalah soal kemenangan.
Now, here's the outline of the book.
Ini adalah garis besar dari kitab Wahyu.
Chapter 1.
Pasal 1.
Introduction.
Pendahuluan.
Chapter 2 and 3.
Pasal 2 dan 3.
The letters to the seven churches.
Surat kepada 7 jemaat.
And then chapter 4 through 7.
Pasal 4 sampai 7.
The seven seals.
7 meterai.
Chapter 8 through 11.
Pasal 8 sampai 11.
The seven trumpets.
7 trompet.
Chapters 12 through 16.
Pasal 12 sampai 16.
Seven interesting symbols.
7 makhluk menarik. Simbolistik.
Chapter 15 and 16.
Pasal 15 sampai 16.
The seven vials.
7 malapetaka.
Chapter 17 through 20.
Pasal 17 sampai 20.
The enemies of the church will be destroyed.
Musuh-musuh jemaat akan dihancurkan.
Chapter 21 and 22.
Pasal 21 dan 22.
The kingdom of God is revealed.
Kerajaan Allah dinyatakan.
Let me give you a summary of the entire Bible.
Mari saya kasih kalian summary ringkasan dari Alkitab.
Genesis chapter 1.
Kejadian 1.
God creates everything.
Allah menciptakan segalanya.
And it's good.
Dan itu semua baik adanya.
Genesis chapter 2, 3, and 4.
Kejadian 2, 3, dan 4.
Adam and Eve sinned.
Adam jatuh dalam dosa.
Sin came into the world.
Dosa terjadi banyak dalam dunia.
We lost our innocence.
Kita kehilangan kekudusan.
We lost the intimate relationship with God that He intended all along.
Kita kehilangan hubungan yang intim dengan Tuhan.
Genesis chapter 5 through Revelation chapter 19.
Pasal 5 dan Wahyu 20.
God is fixing the problem.
Tuhan memperbaiki kerusakannya.
Revelation 21 and 22.
Wahyu 21 sampai 22.
God fixed the problem.
Tuhan telah memperbaiki masalah yang terjadi.
We're back in the garden.
Kita kembali ke Taman Eden.
The picture of Revelation 21 and 22.
Gambaran dari Wahyu 21 dan 22.
It's the Garden of Eden.
Adalah tentang Taman Eden.
We're back where God intended us to be from the very beginning.
Kita kembali kepada masa-masa awal. Wow.
Okay, now let's get into Genesis, Revelation chapter 1.
Sekarang mari kita lihat Wahyu pasal 1.
Okay, what's that one there?
That's
right. Did he do the one that said Genesis 1, Genesis 2, that one there?
That's the previous
one. All right, that's fine. Good. So now we're in the book of Genesis.
Sekarang kita di buku Kejadian.
Now, here's what it says in Revelation. Did I say Revelation?
Okay, Wahyu.
Yeah. Oh, what happened? Did we lose it? That's okay, we'll just keep going. I know, I mean Revelation. But really, the Bible is like bookends.
Alkitab seperti
Revelation of Genesis starts the story.
Kejadian memulai kisahnya.
And Revelation finishes the story.
Dan Wahyu mengakhiri ceritanya.
There's a good connection between the book of Genesis.
Ada koneksi yang bagus antara kitab Kejadian.
And the book of Revelation.
Dan kitab Wahyu.
Because Genesis explains how we got into this situation.
Karena Kejadian menjelaskan tentang bagaimana kita sampai kepada situasi tersebut.
And Revelation explains how we get out of this situation.
Dan Wahyu menjelaskan bagaimana kita bisa keluar dari keadaan tersebut.
So, Revelation chapter 1 verse 1.
Wahyu 1 pasal 1.
It says the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Menjelaskan tentang pewahyuan Yesus Kristus.
Apokalipsis. Unveiling.
Pengungkapan.
And it says it regards things that will soon take place.
Dikatakan bahwa segala sesuatu akan segera terjadi.
So when John receives this revelation, what's it about?
Ketika Yohanes menerima pewahyuan ini adalah tentang apa?
It's about things are going to take place way in the future, right?
Apakah ini kejadian akan terjadi lama di masa depan?
That's what they teach in the churches today, right? They say this revelation is about now or the near future.
Dikatakan bahwa wahyu adalah kejadian sekarang dan di masa depan dalam waktu dekat.
But what did God say to John?
Tapi apa yang Allah katakan kepada Yohanes?
What's it about?
Ini tentang apa?
It says things that are going to soon take place.
Ini tentang kejadian yang akan segera terjadi.
Now if I said to you,
saya katakan kepada kalian,
I'm going to come to your house.
Saya akan datang ke rumah kalian.
Soon.
Segera.
What do you think about that?
Apa yang kalian pikir tentang itu?
Soon.
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 Like
segera.
Maybe tomorrow.
Mungkin besok.
Or maybe next week.
Mungkin minggu depan.
Or maybe even next year.
Mungkin bahkan tahun depan.
Does that mean it's going to be 2,000 years from now?
Apakah itu mungkin bisa 200 tahun dari sekarang?
So what's the setting of the book of Revelation?
Jadi apa inti daripada kitab Wahyu?
It's about things that are going to happen very soon.
Itu adalah tentang sesuatu yang akan terjadi segera.
So much for premillennialism.
Jadi lebih banyak seperti premillennialism.
Or postmillennialism.
Atau postmillennialism.
It's about things that are going to happen very soon.
Itu adalah tentang hal yang akan terjadi segera.
So God's prophecies are about things that are going to be fulfilled very soon after it happens. He says it again in Revelation 22 verse 6.
Dia katakan lagi di Wahyu 2 pasal 6.
At the beginning of Revelation he says,
pada mula dari kitab Wahyu dikatakan,
these things will happen soon.
Hal ini akan terjadi segera.
And then in Revelation 22 verse 10,
dan Wahyu 22 ayat 10,
it says it's going to happen very soon.
Itu akan terjadi segera.
And in Revelation 22 verse 6,
dan Wahyu 22 ayat 6,
it says it's going to happen very soon.
Ini akan segera terjadi, sangat segera.
So what do you think?
Jadi bagaimana menurut kalian?
I think it's going to happen very soon.
Saya rasa ini juga akan terjadi dengan sangat segera.
During the time of the people who heard this.
Mungkin dengan rentang waktu seperti sekarang.
If this was about the distant future.
Bila ini bicara soal masa jarak masa depan.
Then why is he writing to those seven churches?
Jadi kenapa dia menuliskannya untuk 7 jemaat?
The message was for those 7 churches.
Pesan itu juga untuk 7 jemaat.
So of course it's about things that are going to soon take place.
Jadi tentunya itu adalah tentang kejadian akan segera terjadi.
It'd be like I'm preaching to you.
Seperti ketika saya berkhotbah kepada kalian.
About something that's going to happen 1,000 years after you die.
Tentang sesuatu yang akan terjadi 1,000 tahun setelah kalian mati.
Why would you care about that?
Ngapain kalian harus pusingin itu?
That doesn't make any sense.
Ini enggak masuk akal.
Now let's read chapter 1 verse 3.
Mari kita baca Wahyu 1 ayat 3. Berbahagialah ia yang membacakan dan mereka yang mendengarkan kata-kata nubuat ini dan yang menuruti apa yang ada tertulis di dalamnya sebab waktunya sudah dekat.
So it says here.
Jadi dikatakan di sini.
Blessed is the one who reads this book.
Berbahagialah orang yang membaca buku ini.
And blessed are those who take it to heart.
Dan terberkatilah orang-orang yang menganggapnya serius.
This is a beatitude, right?
Yeah. Ini adalah
beatitude. In the book of Matthew.
Dalam kitab Matius.
The beatitudes, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you translate that? How many beatitudes are there in Matthew?
Berapa banyak ucapan bahagia dalam kitab Matius?
There's 7.
Ada 7.
Why 7?
Kenapa 7?
Because 7 is the number of perfection.
Karena 7 adalah nomor kesempurnaan.
Now, are there literally 7 beatitudes in Matthew?
Apakah itu secara harfiah 7 ucapan bahagia dalam kitab Matius?
Yeah, literally there's 7.
Ya, tentu saja ada 7.
Well, guess how many beatitudes there are in the book of Revelation?
Coba tebak ada berapa ucapan bahagia dalam kitab Wahyu?
There's 7 of them.
Ada 7.
In Revelation 1 verse 3.
Dalam Wahyu 1 ayat 3.
It says, "Blessed are those who read this prophecy."
Berbahagialah orang yang membaca nubuatan ini.
In Revelation chapter 14 verse 13.
Dalam Wahyu 14 ayat 13.
It says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord."
Berbahagialah orang yang mati di dalam Tuhan.
In Revelation 16:15.
Di dalam Wahyu 16 ayat 15.
It says, "Blessed are those who watch and prepare for the Lord to come."
Berbahagialah orang yang melihat dan bersiap-siap akan kedatangan Tuhan.
In Revelation 19 verse 9.
Dalam Wahyu 19 ayat 9.
It says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the kingdom."
Berbahagialah orang yang diundang dalam pesta kerajaan.
To the Lamb's wedding.
Ke dalam pernikahan anak domba.
And Revelation 20 verse 6.
Dan Wahyu 20:6.
It says, "Blessed are those who take part in the first resurrection."
Berbahagialah orang yang mengambil bagian dalam kebangkitan pertama.
We'll learn about that later.
Kita akan melihatnya kemudian.
And then in Revelation 22 verse 7.
Dan Wahyu 22 ayat 7.
It says, "Blessed are those who obey what's written in this book."
Berbahagialah orang-orang yang patuh kepada firman Tuhan.
And then Revelation 22 verse 14. It says, "Blessed are those whose robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb." So I have good news for you. Because you came tonight, you're going to be blessed. That's good. It's good news. God says you are blessed.
Tuhan berkata kalian diberkati.
Now, who does this revelation come from?
Mari kita lihat dari mana ayat ini datang.
It comes from God.
Ini datang dari Tuhan.
It comes from the Holy Spirit.
Ini datang dari Roh Kudus.
It comes from Jesus Christ.
Ini datang dari Yesus Kristus.
Let's read verse 4.
Mari kita baca Wahyu ayat 4. Wahyu 1 ayat 4. Salam kepada 7 jemaat. Dari Yohanes kepada 7 jemaat yang di Asia Kecil. Kasih karunia dan damai sejahtera menyertai kamu dari Dia yang ada dan yang sudah ada dan yang akan datang dan dari ketujuh roh yang ada di hadapan tahta-Nya.
So this revelation comes directly from God.
Kita mulai datang langsung dari Allah.
From the Father,
dari Bapa,
from the Son,
Anak,
and from the Holy Spirit.
Dari Roh Kudus.
Who was this revelation written to?
Kepada siapa kitab wahyu ini ditulis?
Let's read verse 11.
Mari kita baca ayat 11. Wahyu 1 ayat 11. Katanya, apa yang engkau lihat, tuliskanlah di dalam sebuah kitab dan kirimkanlah kepada ketujuh jemaat ini. Ke Efesus, ke Smyrna, ke Pergamus, ke Tiatira, ke Sardis, ke Philadelphia, dan ke Laodikia.
So it's written to the seven churches.
Jadi ini ditulis kepada tujuh jemaat.
Those seven churches were in Asia.
Tujuh jemaat tersebut ada di Asia Kecil.
Are we seeing that?
Yeah.
Because it's not showing up on this monitor here, so I have no idea. There are the seven churches.
Ada tujuh jemaat.
And John,
dan Yohanes,
as an apostle,
sebagai rasul,
he lived in Ephesus.
Dia tinggal di Efesus.
And these were the seven churches that John was responsible for.
Ini adalah tujuh jemaat yang Yohanes bertanggung jawab atasnya.
So you have to understand, John is hearing this.
Jadi coba kita pahami, Yohanes mendengar ini.
And Jesus is talking about the seven churches that John is responsible for.
Dan Yesus berbicara tentang tujuh jemaat yang dibimbing oleh Yohanes.
It's like he's getting a job performance review.
Ini seperti kayak review performance dari pekerjaan.
So anything bad he says about these churches,
hal-hal yang buruk yang dikatakan tentang jemaat,
this is something bad about the church that John is responsible for. So, do you think he took special attention?
Kalian pikir dia akan fokus untuk memperhatikan?
I think he did.
Aku yakin dia melakukannya.
But then it says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3.
Tapi dikatakan dalam Wahyu 1 ayat 3.
It says blessed to anyone who reads this and takes it to heart.
Dikatakan bahwa berbahagialah ia yang mendengarkan.
So this message is to the seven churches.
Tentang tujuh jemaat.
But then it's to everyone who hears it.
Tetapi ini juga ditujukan kepada siapapun yang mendengarnya.
It says, blessed are anybody who take it to heart.
Dikatakan berbahagialah ia yang mendengar, yang membacakan dan mendengarkan.
All right, let's skip down.
Mari kita lihat lagi.
Let's read verses 12 through 16.
Mari kita baca Wahyu 1 ayat 12 sampai 16.
Actually, let's read 12 through 18.
Oh, 12 sampai 18. Lalu aku berpaling untuk melihat suara yang berbicara kepadaku. Dan setelah aku berpaling, tampaklah kepadaku tujuh kaki dian dari emas. Dan di tengah-tengah kaki dian itu ada seorang serupa anak manusia. Berpakaian jubah yang panjangnya sampai di kaki, dan dadanya berlilitkan ikat pinggang dari emas. Kepala dan rambutnya putih bagaikan bulu yang putih, mentah. Dan matanya bagaikan nyala api. Dan kakinya mengkilap bagaikan tembaga membara di dalam perapian. Suaranya bagaikan desau air bah. Dan di tangan kanannya, ia memegang tujuh bintang. Dan dari mulutnya keluar sebilah pedang tajam bermata dua. Dan wajahnya bersinar-sinar bagaikan matahari yang terik. Ketika aku melihat dia, tersungkurlah aku di depan kakinya sama seperti orang yang mati. Tetapi ia meletakkan tangan kanannya di atasku lalu berkata, jangan takut, aku adalah yang awal dan yang akhir, dan yang hidup. Aku telah mati, namun lihatlah aku hidup, sampai selama-lamanya, dan aku memegang segala kunci maut dan kerajaan maut.
So here's our picture of Jesus.
Jadi ini gambaran tentang Yesus.
Now notice, it says in verse 9,
dikatakan pada ayat 9,
it says, John says, I'm your brother,
Yohanes berkata bahwa aku adalah saudara.
And I'm your companion in suffering.
Adalah sekutumu dalam penderitaan.
And he says, I was in the island of Patmos.
Aku diasingkan ke Patmos.
Because of the word of God.
Karena firman Tuhan.
I mean, John had been preaching the word of God.
Yohanes menginjil tentang firman Tuhan.
And he was persecuted.
Dan dia dianiaya.
And he's put on the island of Patmos.
Dan dia diasingkan ke pulau Patmos.
So the book of Revelation is written to give comfort to the seven churches.
Jadi buku Wahyu sebenarnya ditujukan untuk menghibur orang jemaat.
Because they're about to be persecuted.
Karena mereka akan dianiaya.
Because of the word of God.
Karena firman Tuhan.
And it's a message to all of us.
Dan ini juga pesan untuk kita semua.
Of comfort.
Menghibur.
Because we're giving our lives to the word of God.
Karena kita berikan hidup kita untuk firman Tuhan.
But it's also to the apostle John.
Tapi itu juga berlaku untuk Rasul Yohanes.
Because he too is being persecuted.
Karena dia juga dianiaya.
Because of the word of God.
Karena firman Tuhan.
Then we get a picture of Jesus.
Dan kita dapatkan gambaran tentang Yesus.
Now stop for a minute, just think.
Okay, sekarang diam sejenak dan pikirkan.
Put aside the picture of Jesus you just saw.
Kesampingkan sejenak gambaran tentang Yesus yang baru saja kalian lihat.
Think about the picture of Jesus you usually have.
Pikirkan gambaran tentang Yesus yang biasanya kalian punya.
Normally when you think of Jesus, what comes to mind?
Normalnya waktu kalian pikir tentang Yesus, apa yang pertama kali muncul?
I think of him being very gentle.
Saya memikirkan dia begitu baik hati.
Very loving.
Sangat mengasihi.
Speaking softly.
Berbicara dengan lembut.
Firmly.
Tegas.
But softly.
Tapi lembut.
I think of him as being somebody approachable. Like, almost you could sit in his lap. Is that the Jesus in the book of Revelation? No, a very, very different Jesus. This is a picture of power.
Ini adalah gambaran tentang kuasa.
It's because of the message.
Karena pesannya.
For those who love God.
Kepada siapapun yang mengasihi.
Who obey Him.
Yang mau patuh padanya.
Jesus is a Jesus of comfort.
Yesus adalah Yesus yang memberi penghiburan.
Of warmth.
Kehangatan.
Of acceptance.
Penerimaan.
Of safety.
Rasa aman.
That's the Jesus we see in the New Testament.
Itu adalah Yesus yang kita lihat dalam perjanjian baru.
But for those who would oppose the church.
Dan kepada orang-orang yang menganiaya jemaat.
Those who would oppose Jesus.
Mereka juga menganiaya Yesus.
This is the picture of Jesus.
Ini adalah gambaran tentang Yesus.
A power.
Kuasa.
It's kind of like Daniel chapter 7.
Ini sama seperti di Daniel pasal 7.
Verse 9 through 10.
Ayat 9 sampai 10.
His voice is like a trumpet.
Suaranya seperti trompet.
Does that mean when he's talking, it's like a trumpet?
Bisakah kalian bayangkan kalau dia bicara suaranya seperti trompet?
No, it's symbolic.
Ini adalah simbol.
That means his voice is loud.
Itu artinya suaranya sangat besar.
It's clear.
Sangat jelas.
It says his eyes are blazing.
Dikatakan bahwa matanya bercahaya.
When Jesus looks you in the eye,
saat Yesus melihatmu di matamu,
it cuts right through you.
Dia bisa melihat sampai ke dalaman diri.
You can hide nothing from Jesus.
Kamu tidak bisa menyembunyikan apapun dari
His hair is white.
Rambutnya putih.
Represents purity.
Menggambarkan tentang kemurnian.
And His feet are like bronze.
Kakinya seperti perunggu.
Strength.
Kuat.
He's pure.
Dia murni.
He's strong.
Dia sangat kuat.
And then he has a double-edged sword sticking out of his mouth.
Dan lidahnya seperti pedang bermata dua.
What a strange image.
Ini adalah gambaran yang aneh.
It represents his authority.
Ini menggambarkan tentang kekuasaannya.
Jesus speaks with great authority.
Yesus berbicara dengan kuasa yang besar.
So what's the picture of Jesus in Revelation 1?
Jadi apa gambaran tentang Yesus dalam Wahyu 1?
He's an authority.
Dia adalah penguasa.
He's holy.
Dia kudus.
Majestic.
Megah.
Omniscient.
Susah untuk diisi.
Powerful.
Penuh kuasa.
He stands among the churches.
Dia berdiri di antara jemaat.
The picture is he's standing among the churches.
Gambaran tentang dia berdiri di antara jemaat.
Anybody who goes after his church,
ada yang mau datang ke gerejanya,
they're taking on Jesus. If they go after the church, they're going after Jesus. Yeah, we have Jesus protecting us. Nothing can overcome us. Nothing can overcome us. We have a powerful Jesus. That's different from the picture you get in the New Testament. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Say, I'm glad I'm on Jesus' side. Because we're going to win. Now we're going to take a break. And then we're going to do Revelation chapter 2. We'll see how far we get. But we finished our introduction. And we got through the first chapter. That's pretty good.